show me, Lord, I do, Lord, I do, Lord, I do your will, if I got one witness out there, wave your hands and say, show me, Lord, I do, Lord, I do, Lord, I do, Lord, I do your will, your will. Come on, y'all. If I got one believer in the building, say, wave your hands and say, show me. Show me. I want the Lord to show you, Lord, I do. Lord, I do your will, your will. Y'all say, show me, show me, Lord, I do, Lord, I do, Lord, I do your will, hey, if you want the Lord to show you, come on, wave your hand and say, show me, yeah, Lord, I do, Lord, I do, Lord, I do your will. Hey, 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 hey. Ooh, wee, ooh, wee, ooh, wee, show me. Lord, show me, Lord, show me. Oh, I do. Lord, I do your will, your will. Listen here. My soul was sinking in a world of sin. Grace and mercy, it took me in. Took my feet out of the miry clay. And he placed it on a rock to say, oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. Chain had been bound, and he set me free. It felt like
cooling water,
cooling water. It felt like
cooling water,
cooling water,
cooling water.
It felt like
cooling water,
cooling water from Grandma's way. Listen to sleepless nights and so much pain. I could see no sunshine, not day but rain. God said, we've been made it good for a night, but in the morning, it will be all right. Oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. He loosed the chain and been bound, and he set me free. It felt like
cooling water,
cooling water. It felt like
cooling water,
cooling water. It felt like
a cooling water.
I was reminded of another water. I was reminded of another water. Now I was right down in a muddy puddle. Y'all, I went down. Yes, I did. It felt like
cooling water.
It felt like
cooling water.
Now I was reminded of another water. I was reminded of another water. As I stepped down in a muddy pond, y'all, I went down. Yes, I did. Say praise God
for the water.
Say praise God
for
the water. Say for the water,
for
the water. Y'all should have praised God
for
the water. say Father water,
Father water,
Father water, what's Father water? Say cooling water, cooling water. Y'all know what I mean, what's cooling water? Say praise God, Father water. Y'all should praise God, if we're Father water. Now wave your hands, if we praise God. Come on, wave your hands, if you want to praise God. Say Father water, Father water. What Father water,
Father water,
Father water. Say Father water,
Father water,
Father water. Cooling water from Grandma.
Amen. Brother Raymond, let us know he's back. Amen. God has gifted him with a great voice. The devil tries everything he can to stop you from using it, but tell him he's a liar.
Yes.
God is able.
Yes, he is.
Not only does he have a great singing voice, but he can play some drums. Yes. Multi-talented. I can't play nothing. But God gives some with more than others. So there's some music. And Reverend Coleman, to all of you, let me just say God is good.
Yes, he is.
And his mercy endures forever. This morning, I want to call our attention to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we'll be coming from 18 through 25, but I'll probably only read 18 and 25.
Yes, sir.
But we'll be coming from those scriptures. Amen. Everybody guys, amen. Need a little more time to hold it. Amen. So we must be all together. You find these words at verse number 18 of the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Yes,
sir. Verse 25 say, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, and the word of our God will stand forever. For the message, you may be seated, of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And for a few minutes, I just want to talk about the foolishness of God. The foolishness of God, because as it said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And God chose the foolishness of the world to confound or confuse the wise. And so let me begin, thank you, Ursus, by saying that many times God tends to work in some strange ways. Many times ways that we as humans may not be able to understand. Because sometimes he uses things that we may not necessarily think that it could be used to further his kingdom's agenda. Sometimes he'll use small things, and other times he will use big things. But many times God tends to work in some strange ways to the point that something that he does seems impossible. But then the Bible tells us, according to Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. But now in the text, many Jews considered the gospel of Jesus Christ to be foolishness because they thought that the Messiah would be a conquering king accompanied by signs and miracles. In other words, Jesus had not restored the throne of David as they had expected. And besides that, Jesus was executed as a common criminal. And they reasoned, how could a criminal be a savior? Also, the Greeks also, they too considered the good news to be foolishness because first they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, and they didn't see Jesus in the powerful characteristics of their mythological gods. And they also thought that no reputable person would be crucified. And therefore, to them, death was defeat and not victory. And guess what? The good news of Jesus Christ still sounds foolish to many, even today. Because our society worships power, influence, and wealth. But Jesus came as a poor, humble servant. And he offers his kingdom to those who have faith and not to those who do all kinds of good deeds trying to earn salvation. And so although the good news of the cross sounds foolish to the world, but to the saved, it is Christ's mighty power of God and the only way that one can be saved. For the Bible teaches us in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. That's why knowing Christ personally, I need to tell you, is the greatest wisdom anyone can have. And so the text says in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Note here in the text that the cross actually divides the human race, and that division is between those who are perishing, talking about the lost, to whom it's foolishness, and those who are being saved, to whom it is the wisdom and power of God. And so in the text here, Paul introduces God's indictment against those who view themselves as wise in this age. Because too many today, Christ's death on the cross by our sins just sounds sort of foolish, because the dim death seemed to be the end of the road, the ultimate weakness. But now the good news of the gospel is not that he died, but the good news of the gospel is that he rose up on the third day. And his resurrection demonstrates his power over death. And that's why he can save anyone who believes in the gospel by saving us from eternal death and giving us eternal life if we trust him as our Savior and Lord. But the main reason that a whole lot of folk won't accept this truth, Brother Buckley, is because it sounds too simple. In other words, this doesn't make sense. It must be more to it than that. And so many try to earn eternal life by other means, by doing good deeds or trying to be super religious and the like, but all of their attempts will be futile. But the foolish people who accept Christ's offer is wiser than all, because they alone will live with God for all eternity. But now, does this mean that Christianity is against rational thinking? No, because Christians clearly believe in using their minds to weigh evidence and make wise choices. But in the text, what Paul is doing, he's declaring that no amount of human wisdom, knowledge can replace or bypass Christ's work on the cross. Because if it could, Christ would be accessible to the intellectually gifted and the well-educated and not the ordinary person. But I thank God, Reverend Coleman, that the Bible says, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, not the intellectually gifted or the well-educated, but whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Perennial skill and human wisdom will not get a person into God's kingdom. Only simple faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And that's why we read in Romans 10:9-10, for those who want to know how to be saved, say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be saved, but you will be saved. But note, if you will, that he says confess and not profess, because to profess something is usually to declare something something insincerely, although you can profess something and mean it, but more often the verb profess is used when someone lies about their true feelings. But to confess is to acknowledge something or to declare one faith in Christ from the heart and not just profess something from the head that you don't mean or that you don't believe. And so Romans 10:10 goes on to tell us, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not profession, but confession is made unto salvation. Point is, salvation of being saved is as close as your own lips and heart. Yet many folk believe that to be saved is some kind of complicated process. But let me tell you, it's not. Because if we believe in our hearts and say with our mouth that Christ is the risen Lord, we will be saved. And so the text says in verse 18 and 25, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then verse 25 says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, some might wonder why is this, because God says in Isaiah 55:5-9, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Point is, as long as we need man's approval, God will be limited in what he can do in and through us. Because real faith is our willingness to look foolish to the world and our obedience to God and his word. And that's why faith and humility go hand in hand. You know, the text tells us in verse 27 that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. For instance, Noah looked foolish building an ark in the midst of the desert. Sarah sounded foolish and looked foolish believing that she could have a baby at 90 years old. Moses looked foolish asking Pharaoh to let his slaves go. The Israelites, they looked foolish marching around the walls of Jericho blowing a trumpet. David, he looked foolish talking about attacking Goliath with a slingshot. The wise men looked foolish following a star. Peter, he looked foolish attempting to step out of a boat in the midst of a storm. Jesus, he looked foolhardy hanging half naked on the cross. But the results speak for itself. Because Noah and his family were saved from the flood because of the ark he built in the midst of the desert. Sarah, she gave birth to a bouncing baby boy at age 90 by the name of Isaac. Moses delivered Israel out of Egyptian slavery, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down because of marching, blowing trumpets, and giving a great shout. David defeated and killed the giant Goliath with a little bit of slingshot. The wise men, because they followed the star, they found the Messiah. Peter, because he stepped out of the boat at Jesus' command, he became the first and only man to walk on water. Then Jesus, because he hung bled and died half naked on an old rugged cross, he became our substitute, and he bore our sins that we might be forgiven and saved. And so the text says in verse 18 and 21 through 24, it says in plain and simple terms, it said the message about the cross doesn't make sense to lost folk. But those of us who are being saved, it's God's power at work. God was wise and decided not to let the people of the world use their wisdom to learn of him. Instead, God chose to save only those who believe the foolish message that we preach. Jews ask for miracles and Greeks want something that sounds wise, but we preach Christ was nailed to a cross. But most Jews have a problem with this because, and most Gentiles think it's foolish. But our message is God's power and wisdom for the Jews and Greeks that he's chosen to save. Even when God is foolish, he's wiser than anyone else. Even when he's weak, he's stronger than anyone else. And so as I try to move to the close, that's why I can say like Paul, who said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, for the Jew first and also the Greeks. But the question comes, why did the message go to the Jews first? Well, it's because they had been God's chosen people for more than 2,000 years. Ever since God chose Abraham and promised a great blessing to his descendants in Genesis 12:1-3. But God didn't choose the Jews because they deserved to be chosen, but he wanted to show his love and mercy to them, for it would be through them that the Messiah would come into the world. And so God chose them not to play favorites, but so that they would tell the world about his salvation plan. Point is, God had made a messianic covenant with the Gentiles, but he made it with the Jews. And so when the Bible says the Jews first, it just means first in time. Because remember, in the covenant that God made with Abraham, Genesis 12:2, he said, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And that's why he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. And so like Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believe. But he also said in Romans 1:17, he said, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So let me ask you this morning, have you accepted the foolishness of the gospel that's able to save your soul? I'm talking about the foolishness that say that Jesus hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross for the sins of the world, and he was buried in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But bright early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave, declaring, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Now that's the good news. And so it's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Ain't God all right? Have you tried him this morning for yourself? I tell you, he'll make a way out of no way. He will save your soul from a burning hell. Ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. I know he's all right because I tried him for myself. And so the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So will you accept the foolishness of the gospel this morning? If you are here in the building, or maybe listening by way of radio, for Jesus will receive you just as you are. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I tell you, he'll save you to the utmost. I know it sounds crazy that a man on the cross can save us from our sins, but I'm so glad that he did go on the cross. so glad that it did raise up from the grave. I'm so glad that it right now he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God, and he promised he's coming back again. I don't know about you, but when he come back, I want to hear his welcome voice saying, servant, oh, servant, servant, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Just come on up just a little bit higher. And about that time, he'll wipe all tears.
Yes,
sir. Bye-bye. No more heartache, but McCurry. No more limping.
Yes.
No more pain.
Yes.
No more sickness. And no more death. Oh, Lord. What a great day. What a great day. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. So many people today think that you got to do some extra stuff to be saved. But you don't have to do anything extra. All you got to do is believe and receive the Lord as Savior and Lord of your life, and he'll do the rest of the work. Some people think that they got to believe and then work or do this and do that, but no. I know it's simple because it just don't make sense. How could it be that simple? All I got to do is believe in the report that Jesus died for my sin, rose up from the dead in my heart, and receive him as Savior and Lord of my life, and I will go to heaven. I mean, that's strange. That don't sound like, look like I ought to have to do something. So to help it out. And that's why so many people fall by the wayside, because once the Lord, they get spiritual growth confused with a process of salvation. There's no process in salvation. You saved or you're not. But there's a process in spiritual growth. Everybody in here are not on the same level. There's some people who are still babies. There's some people who's almost mature. There's some people who are mature. And so you wouldn't expect a baby to act like a mature person. No more than you think a little baby would act like a grown person. It's the same way in the spiritual world. We have to grow. Faith don't come by saying, Lord, give me some faith. But faith comes by what? Hearing. And by hearing the word of God. That's why we have, why you think we've been going to church for all these years? We got every Sunday we come back and we have Sunday school. We have preaching, and on Wednesday we have Bible study. Why you think? It's to help us in our spiritual growth, because when we walk out that door, the devil is waiting on us. Sometimes some people bring him in with them, and he walk right back out with him. Amen? It's like your car. You don't drive your car the whole year and don't put no gas in it. You got to go to the service station and get a fill-up every now and then. In the same way, we have to come in and get a little fill-up, because through the week, we got the battle. Amen. At this time, we extend the invitation. Perhaps there may be somebody who would like to get on board.
I got him.
The invitation is to come whosoever will.
I got him. Got heaven.
Remember, it's not anything complicated that you got to do. Just accept the message of the gospel.
Singing all the time.
Maybe you already received the message, but for some reason the devil tricked you and you sort of walked away from the Lord and the church. You can come back also. Remember the prodigal son, he went away and went, lost all his money, went, ended up a pig pen, but when he came to himself, he went back home. And the father was right there waiting with open arms.
Heaven on my mind.
I got heaven on my mind.
I got heaven.
All right.
Well, that's a walk
as I walk.
That's a talk
as I talk.
You can always hear me say.
Thank you. It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
All right.